In the autumn of 1960, I agreed to marry my South African freedom fighter and travel with him to London.
We will marry in Oxford. Such a pretty little town.
I want to have my mother and son present. Can we wait?
His name was Vuzumzi Marke.
I understand. In London, we will say we're married in America. When we return to New York, we will say we're married in England. Better still, I am marrying you this minute. Will you say yes?
Yes.
Then we are married.
We never mentioned the word marriage again. In London, we made love every morning, and I stayed in bed while he attended his conferences. I lived the high life, a mighty long way from Harlem. But I wasn't used to having so much time on my hands. It was the same when we returned to New York.
Find a good, large apartment in Manhattan, furnish it well.
He was an attentive father, making visits to Guy's school and sitting with him late evenings over textbooks, whilst I cleaned thoroughly every day.
Dear, you forgot to vacuum behind the sofa.
Did I, dear?
I was in love and wanted to be a good African wife. I had quit the SCLC. Voos didn't want me to have a job, but I felt cut off from life and risk going insane from nonstop cleaning. And so,
our pledge is to support all black civil rights groups.
I co-founded the Cultural Association for Women of African Heritage. It was my lifeline out of domesticity. We had energy and a mission, but we were in need of a cause. At our next meeting,
hey, I just found out Patrice Lumumba has been murdered.
Oh, no. My God.
Lumumba was a freedom fighter and the first legally elected prime minister of the Republic of Congo. His appeal for help to the U.S. and U.N. against the Belgium-led opposing forces had been denied. He had been imprisoned and executed by a firing squad.
We've got to let the Congolese and all the other Africans know that we are with them.
We decided on a peaceful, effective, and symbolic gesture of protest at the U.N.
We need to let people know we need more support if we're going to make a difference.
Amen, sister. Tell it.
So we put out the word. 125th Street was to Harlem what the Mississippi was to the South. A long, traveling river always going somewhere, carrying something.
Yeah, the people ought to know. Yeah, you tell them.
Michaud's bookstore would pass the word round Harlem faster than an orchestra of conga drums. Mr. Michaud and his shop were at the center of many organized rallies.
Come back this evening. I'll have him here at 7:30.
And sure enough, that evening,
some of your sisters are going to be talking to you about Africa, about the goddamn Belgians, the United Nations. Just remember,
he had kept his word. Masses of brown, black, yellow faces looked back at him. My knees weakened and my legs wobbled as we joined him on the platform.
We women intend to wear veils and men armbands. We will enter the UN building when they announce Patrice Lumumba's death, and we will simply stand in quiet protest. We'll let the world know that the secret murder of black leaders has to stop.
And on the day of our proposed protest, it was incredible. More than we had ever imagined or dreamed of, thousands of people circled the streets, packed together, holding placards.
Oh, my God, Maya, so many people!
The guards have refused entry to the UN. What are we going to do?
We managed to get a few protesters inside the building and entered the auditorium. The assembly had started. 75 black people mixed among the whites. Some women had already pinned veils on their faces. And then,
yes!
Yes! Yes! African diplomats were as shocked as their white counterparts and started to hustle away. And I found myself shouting,
"Murderers! Killers! Assassins!"
Rosa found me.
Fire! This way!
And I followed. We urged people back to the safety of the streets. But outside, the crowd had changed its mood. They'd heard of the turmoil inside and now wanted an extravagant disorder while mounted police climbed the sidewalk. Their hands never far from their pistols.
Get away! Move, damn it!
I saw an old man pressed against a wall.
Come on, brother. Take my hand. Come on. That's it. Come on. You're okay.
Maya Angelou, I thought you were scared of horses.
I am!
I was intoxicated by the adventure, but our peaceful protest had turned into a riot. The marchers began to peel away. They knew the protest had done no good.
This is bigger than us, Rosa. We can't lead all those people.
There was only one group I could think of that could do it.
Ladies, salam alaikum. Please, take a seat.
The meeting had been easy to arrange. I had simply called the mosque and been given the name of a restaurant and the time.
Why do you want to meet?
Watching Malcolm X on television or even listening to him speak on a podium had been no preparation for meeting him face to face.
It's about the protest outside the UN yesterday.
I told the New York Times the black Muslims were not involved.
No. We were.
We hadn't anticipated so many people turning up, or the rioting.
We don't want to see an increase in stabbings and shootings as black people turn on each other.
What you did will not win freedom for anyone. You were wrong.
But what were we supposed to do? Nothing.
I know you're disappointed, but I tell you this. By the end of the day, some Negro leaders are going to be like Peter in your Christian Bible and deny you. There will be statements refuting what you did. They will sell you again and again into slavery. Now, here's what we, the Nation of Islam, will not do. We will not send black men, women, and children before armed and crazy white devils. And we will not deny you. I will make a statement to the press saying that yesterday's demonstration is symbolic of the anger in this country. That black people were saying they will not always say yes, sir, and please, sir. And they will not allow whites to spit on them in lunch counters in order to eat their hot dogs and drink Coca-Colas. Salaam alaikum.
He left, and we were left in a fog of defeat. That evening, the radio, television, and newspapers bore out Malcolm's predictions.
That ugly demonstration was carried out by an irresponsible element and does not reflect the mood of the larger black community.
But Malcolm X was as good as his word.
The time has come for ballots or bullets. Black people know it's useless to ask their enemy for justice. And surely whites are the enemies of blacks. Otherwise, how did we get to this country in the first place?
Black despair was still real. The murders would continue. And I felt completely helpless. Then I was offered a part in a new play, The Blacks, by Jean Genet.
Clouds of heroes, young and old, have died for me.
I played the White Queen.
My retinues were famous.
We wore exaggerated masks and performed from a platform 9 feet above the stage. Below us were the Negroes, the rest of the company. After a duel, the blacks triumphed and killed the whites and occupied the platform of their former masters.
But what have I done to them? I'm kind and sweet and beautiful.
The play became such a cruel parody of white society that I was certain it would flop. But whites loved the blacks. And the play was a roaring success. Meanwhile, at home, Vus was still an enigma to me. He'd been away to India, and since his return, things were not so good.
Shall we go out to breakfast? I have a meeting downtown.
Who's the woman? Or should I say women?
I had laid Vuce's shirt across the chair while he had finished showering. This was the third time his clothes were stained with other women's makeup.
What?
It's not my makeup, so whose is it this time?
I don't know what you are talking about. There is no one else.
Thus, I'm not playing.
You are the one love of my life.
If you chippy on me, you could get hurt. And I mean seriously.
Don't you ever threaten me. I am an African. I do not scare easily, and I do not run at all. You are my wife. That is all you need to know.
Oh, brilliant.
I began washing the lipstick stain from his shirt. The sad irony was that I was happier in the dusty theater than in this pretty, clean apartment.
Yes, hello?
Maya Make. Uzumzi Make is not coming home.
Did he ask you? Tell me that. Who are you?
Uzumzi Make will never come home again.
Was it an African diplomat who suspected his wife and Vuce were having an affair?
Hello? Who is this?
You will never see Bazumzi Make again.
By the time I left for the theater, Vuce had not returned.
Clouds of heroes, young and old, have died for...
During the play, the memory of the telephone calls lay just under the remembered lines. By the end of the play, I was really worried.
Good evening, my dearest.
Oh, Vuce, thank God.
There he was, in the foyer, whole and beautiful.
You are loving me tonight.
In the taxi home, I put my head on his chest, breathing in his living scent.
You are shaking. Has something happened?
I told him about the calls.
I got so worried.
I'm surprised it took them so long.
Who?
The South African police. They do that sort of thing. Telephone the wives and tell them their husband or their children have been killed. Tomorrow, I will have the number changed.
The next call came about 2 weeks later.
Boy Make, your husband is dead. His throat has been cut.
When I told Vuce...
It's all right. We'll change the number again.
But still, they continued.
Boy Make, you can pick up your husband's body at Bellevue.
So I decided to handle them myself.
You lying, racist, apartheid-loving son of a bitch. South Africa will be free someday, and all you white racists had better be long-distance swimmers or have well-stocked life rafts, because Africans are going to run you right to the ocean.
I would then ring various people to find him and make sure he was okay. And when I did...
Vuce Make?
Oh, Vuce, it's me. Let's go to dinner after the play, or maybe a bar.
And somehow, I put to the back of my mind his infidelities. We loved each other. And in spite of our many differences, we were completely reconciled. Or so I thought.